Well, we do need to be much in prayer and anticipation in this coming year, that it might please God to grant that we might be more godly, and that we might walk more closely with him, and that we might know intimate communion with the great God of heaven and with his glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might be a people who walk with God and know what it is to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. That we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that in God's goodness, that we might have the glorious privilege of seeing people coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That we might have the privilege of seeing people saved by amazing grace. Let us all pray. O Lord, our great God in heaven, we bless you indeed, O Lord, that you dwell in eternity, that you dwell outside of time. We realize, O Lord, that with you one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. We realize, O Lord, that in your economy there have only been 2 days since the coming of the Lord Jesus. And, O Lord, our God, we bless you that we can come to you this day, we who dwell in time, because, O Lord, we thank you that you are the one who hears the prayers of all your people throughout this world. And we bless you, Lord, that we come through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the one who is our great unchanging High Priest. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you because of him who dealt with all our sin. We thank you, O Lord, for him who loved us, for him who gave himself for us, for him who came to save his people from their sins, for him who is Emmanuel, God with us, for him, O Lord, who lived a life and lived a righteous life that we could never live, in order that it might be placed to our account, in order to die a death that we should have died, in order, Lord, that our sins might be washed away. And we thank you, O God, this morning, for every blood-washed saint here. We realize, O Lord, that you have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We thank you, O God, that you have made us new creations in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that there was a day when we were not your people. And we thank you, Lord, that everyone here, born again of the Spirit, can rejoice in salvation in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can say, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. And, O Lord, our God, we pray that during this coming year, it might please you to bless your fellowship here. We realize indeed, O Lord, that it is not our work, but yours. Amen. And we realize, O Lord, that the Lord Jesus is the head of the church. And, O Lord, our God, we realize that we are his body. And we pray that during the coming year, O Lord, that we, your people here, may be a constant encouragement to you and a constant encouragement to your servant Tom. We pray indeed, O Lord, that we here might continue to esteem him very highly for his work's sake. And, O Lord, our God, do keep him from the enemy, we pray, and protect him in every way. May he know what it is, O Lord, to know that intimate communion with God. And, O Lord, our God, as he studies your word and as he leads your people, we pray indeed, O Lord, that he might continue to do it as an under-shepherd of the one who is the good shepherd and the great shepherd. O Lord, our God, we look to you. We pray that you might bless him and be with him, that you might grant him a measure of health and strength. We know that they've not been well in this past week, that you might bless Kat and Reuben, that your good hand may be upon them. And, O Lord, our God, we pray that you might give them a safe journey back here tomorrow. And, O Lord, do lead and guide your people here. O God in heaven, we pray that there might be the joy of salvation coming here. We pray, O Lord, that many may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We think of many of the young people in this fellowship. And we pray, O Lord, that not one of them might be lost, but that each one might come to salvation in the Lord Jesus. We pray indeed that there might continue to be a spirit of unity among your people here. We pray, O God, that the devil will be kept out of this place. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that your people might ever be endeavouring to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We pray indeed, O Lord, that we might live as you would have us live in this coming year, that we might be more holy. And, O Lord, our God, that we might be more conformed to the image of your Son. We pray that we might keep short accounts with you. We pray indeed, O Lord, that we might know you and love you and serve you and delight in you and glory in you. And, O Lord, our God, we pray that every time we come, that we might come with a sense of privilege. For, O Lord, our God, what a glorious thing it is to worship the God of heaven. And to worship the God of heart, God of earth, because, O Lord, we have been made new creations in Jesus Christ. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to draw your attention this morning to one little phrase in the first psalm. It's at the very end of the third verse. And whatever he does shall prosper. In order that as we begin a new year, that we might truly know what it is to have a happy and to have a prosperous new year. Psalm 1 is a psalm that has encouraged and challenged the people of God down through the years. We have a picture of a godly man, one who walks in the who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, one who does not stand in the path of sinners, one who does not sit in the seat of the scornful, one who has a great delight in his life, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The believer is like a tree planted by rivers of water. In other words, a tree that is flourishing, a tree that is full of health, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. A believer is like an evergreen tree. And then we have an amazing statement. And whatever he does shall prosper. And I want to look at this great theme this morning as the believer who is one who prospers. If we were to go to the man in the street and ask him what he understood by prosperity, I wonder what his reply would be. He is a man that does well in business. He is somebody who's known what it is to have early promotion. He has great wealth. He has a nice home. He has a lovely family. And when we turn to the scriptures, we find a man like Job, who had many great things. He was the greatest of the men of the East. He had 7 sons and he had 3 daughters. And materially he was a prosperous man. And he was a prosperous man because he feared God and because he shunned evil. And the believer is often prosperous in material things because of who he serves. When he goes to his place of work, he aims for excellence because he's doing all things to the glory of God. Whether he's eating or whether he's drinking, he's doing all things unto God. He's doing it for the people he works for, but ultimately he's doing it for a far greater and mightier reason. He's doing it unto the living God because he lives and he works under the eye of God. He's not one of these people who does the least possible work for the most amount of money, because he knows that he has a work ethic, and his work ethic is ultimately to serve the only true and the only living God. And he's recognized often in his place of work as a reliable and hard worker. And when there's promotion being recommended, often the believer is put in that position. And God often works even today that his people are brought into a state of material prosperity. If he is in business, his word is his bond. I knew a man once who was a chief executive of Shell. And whenever he used to go on business for the first time, he used to fly all around the world. And he shook the hands of a contact. And he said, I want to tell you, I'm a Christian. And I don't do anything that is dishonest or underhand. He is reliable. He gives good service. He's faithful in all things. And he often gets a good reputation. And he's able to obtain good will. And wherever he is found, he is seeking to be well-pleasing unto God. With Joseph of old, when he was in Potiphar's house, he sought to be pleasing to God. When he was in prison in Egypt, he sought to be pleasing unto God, because he knew that the Lord was with him. He didn't complain about being in prison, for even there he was a prosperous man, because ultimately he knew the source of true prosperity, prosperity in God. He knew the grace of God within him, and it was seen that he was so different from everyone else. But ultimately the believer is content with his lot in this world because he prospers in that which really matters. You remember Solomon set his heart on true prosperity. God came to Solomon one day and said, ask what I shall give you. And he came, and he could have asked for so many things, and he didn't do so, because he wanted to know how to be truly wise. How to be truly wise. And God knew that he had set his heart on real prosperity, and God also blessed him materially as a result. He was not looking for riches. He was looking for wisdom, but God gave him riches as a bonus. And what are we looking for in this materialistic society? Well, temporary prosperity God can give or withhold as he will. There can be occasions when a person is faithful in their place of work, but because he is a believer, he is denied promotion. And he recognizes that ultimately all is under the providence of God. But the important thing, as we begin another year, is this. Is that we be a people who know what it is to have spiritual prosperity. For the word of God says, and whatever he does shall prosper. What is prosperity? It is someone who is succeeding or thriving. Now, material prosperity is somebody who is succeeding and somebody who is thriving. Spiritual prosperity is somebody who is succeeding and thriving in the things of God. God can and does bless with material prosperity. But material prosperity can come and material prosperity can go. But true spiritual prosperity is the most important thing of all for every believer gathered here. In order that as we face 2017, that we might truly be a prosperous people. And that God might smile as he looks down on Belvedere Chapel and say, there is a truly prosperous people who are living to my praise and to my honour and to my glory. Now we need to be very careful in our day and age about material prosperity, because it seems to me that materialism is one of Satan's secret weapons in our day and in our generation. We can so easily be caught up with material things. The more material things you have, the more time it takes to look after them, doesn't it? And that is always the great danger with material things. They can be a diversion from the things that really matter. You think of the parable of the rich fool. He was a prosperous man. He had so much that he had to pull down his barns and build bigger ones. He was a great party thrower. He would have had a great party on New Year's Eve. Eat, drink, and be merry. And I've got financial security as well. But one day he realized, he didn't realize, was coming a time when he would hear, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. And my friend, there will be a this night for everyone gathered here this morning. And there may be a this night for you in 2017. You may be taken from time into eternity. That God may snuff your little life out. Last week in Southend, there were two young men of 17, and they were being pursued by the police, and the car crashed, and they were taken from time into eternity. And if you were taken from time into eternity today, where would you go? Where would you go? The Lord Jesus alone is the one provision, the only provision that has been made for men and for women. And the most important thing at the beginning of another year is to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. But this rich fool was not rich toward God. He was not rich toward God. And what is it to be rich toward God? It is to be rich in the things of God. It is to be rich in the works that are done for the glory of God. It is to be rich in the fruit of the Spirit. To be rich in the graces of the Spirit. To be abounding in valuable things. I have a customer and he's a multi-millionaire. He was a top barrister at the Old Bailey. He owns property after property. But you wouldn't know it. He said to me the other day, when I go to Newcastle, to an auction in Newcastle, I never expect to spend more than £20 on a ticket there and back. And he said, I go on the overnight coach to Newcastle and I manage to find a very cheap ticket down to Leeds and I manage to get a coach from Leeds to London for £1. He complained some weeks ago about his haircut going up from £5 to £6. And you see, we as Christian believers should be abounding and rejoicing and delighting in the riches that have come to us in the Lord Jesus. For we have riches that are beyond our comprehension. We've had riches poured into our hearts. And we need to know what it is to live according to those glorious and amazing and wonderful riches. This rich fool grew comfort from material riches. But how thankful we are that we can draw comfort from the Word of God, from the promises of God. He said, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. And he didn't realize that very soon they would all be gone. But we have riches that will last for eternity. And the great question that you and I need to ask at the beginning of another year is, what is the deep concern of my life this morning? Is it Christ or is it the world? Is it that which is seen or that which is unseen to the naked eye? There's nothing wrong in having a nice home. But the most important thing is knowing something of the King in all his loveliness and in all his beauty. And it's possible too to have very little according to this world, but to live for temporal things. It's possible for a child to have little pocket money and set a heart upon those things that you can buy with it. The Christian is to be content with such things as they have. For we have the promise that God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have the abiding presence of the great God of heaven and the great God of earth. And we have to beware of being discontent because of temporal things. Because ultimately our contentment is in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during this coming year, as you and I seek to be prosperous, we are to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And by setting our affection on things above, we can reflect what is above to the world and also to the church. As material riches come from God, so do spiritual riches, because God is working in us the will and to do of his good pleasure. And if God is working within us, we must cooperate with that working in order that we might truly be a prosperous people. And whatever he does shall prosper. And we shall prosper because we are in a covenant relationship with God. We must prosper because we are owned by the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must prosper as we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We must remember that the great God of heaven is as near as a shadow, and he's close to us in any and every situation. The believer shall have good success. He shall make progress. He shall bring forth fruit. He shall do exploits. He shall run and not be weary. He shall walk and not faint. He shall never perish. And because of this, he shall prosper. Indeed, he must prosper. When he comes to the house of God, he loves to be there. It is his delight. Somebody has rightly said that we prioritize what is important to us. And we do, you know. Is it important to prosper? Make it a priority to be among the Lord's people. Is it important to prosper? Make it a priority to be at the prayer meeting and to be seeking the face of God. Is it important to prosper? Feed upon the word of God. Is it important to prosper, my friend? Do those things which encourage spiritual prosperity. Read good books. Know what it is to read good Christian literature. You make good use of the internet. Hear good sermons. Feed upon the word of God. May Pastor Tom, as he comes week by week, look at this fellowship and say, here is a prosperous people. A people who are living for the glory of God. Prosperity is heaven coming down and working in the heart to purify and purge it. It's not necessarily large numbers or action, but it is the work of God upon the inner man. It is knowing the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God desires among his people that they be truly prosperous. The world hankers after material prosperity. But the one who prospers is one who hankers after material prosperity. We look at the epistles and we see how to conduct not our latest evangelistic campaign, however important that may be, but how to live as Christians in this world, as the doctrines of the gospel are applied to the heart and received and lived accordingly, and we prosper in relation to each other. 30% of the epistles is given to relationships among the people of God. What does the world want to do in January? It wants to spend money. It can't get enough. The more it gets, the more it wants. But the mark of a godly man is that he can't get enough of spiritual things. He longs that he may have a greater understanding of the Word of God. You know, as I'm coming to the end of my life in this world, I have to say, I wish I had a greater understanding of the Word of God. A greater understanding of God's truth. You see, a prosperous man longs for a greater understanding of the things that are above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Oh, to have a greater awareness and greater understanding of the deep, deep love of Jesus. A godly church is a prosperous church. Not because the collections are up, or because they have gifted people, or because they have large numbers, but because they have a people who hanker for the things that really matter, who hanker for spiritual riches, who hanker for the Word of God. And the Christian should have that desire to spend and be spent for its master. Be careful of hankering for the prosperity of the world. Aim at a simple lifestyle. Aim continually at a simple lifestyle. And aim for the prosperity of the soul. Because the one who is prosperous is like a tree extending its roots, increasing its fibers, circulating its juices, blossoming. His leaf shall not wither. When troubles come, when the frost come, when the snow comes, when the difficulties come, his leaf shall not wither. He remains constant because he's confident in his God. He's trusting in his God. And there may be many troubles that we will have to face in this coming year, many heartaches. But a prosperous man will take hold of the Word of God and apply the Word of God to the particular situation where he's found. And may live according to it. And the prosperous man is ever taking deeper root, growing stronger in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Having stronger desires for heaven. Knowing what it is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He's not like a willow tree hanging down toward the earth, but like a poplar tree reaching out toward heaven. Because heaven has come down and glory has filled his soul. What he does is done in the name of Christ and by the Spirit of God. It flows from the free grace of God in Jesus Christ. He longs that he might know more spiritual life. He longs that he might have a closer walk with God. It flows from heaven's glory, and it returns to heaven to the glory of God. He glories in grace. He longs that he might be prosperous. It is the hidden man of the heart, unseen by anyone else but God. True prosperity is first of all found in the secret place of the heart. But are you a child of God this morning? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But it doesn't stop there. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Have you ever seen chaff in the fields? It just blown away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What a solemn end. And this meeting this morning is a divided meeting. Divided between the righteous and the ungodly. And the way to become righteous is to turn to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. To turn to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to turn from sin. The awfulness of sin. Sin that has self at its very centre. And turn to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It is absolutely certain. And that will be irreversible. No way back. Because now the Lord Jesus has provided a way. There is a way back to God from the dark powers of sin. There's a way back this morning. Young person here, begin the new year with salvation in the Lord Jesus. Begin the new year by being made a new creation. We've had new things over the Christmas period. But the one thing that you most desperately need is to be made a new creation in Jesus Christ. That you be given a new heart. Call upon God to save you and to meet with you while there is breath in your body. And may it please God during this coming year to really work in your heart. By his Spirit. A believer, there are many hindrances to prosperity. There is a sin that so easily entangles. It's the bindweed of the soul. We must be careful in our use of our words. Careful about how we speak about fellow believers. Careful about unkind words. And my dear friends, we must remember that we have the coldness of the heart. It was John Newton who wrote, "Cold is my warmest thought, But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Seek by the grace of God to flourish in this coming year. And when Tom comes out on the Lord's Day, he looks at this fellowship and he'll be thankful that he's been sent here. Because he sees here are people who are flourishing. To quote Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 1, Paul looked at the believers at Philippi and he looked upon them as his crown and joy. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. As he looks here, these people are my joy and my crown. Sometimes it's difficult for a preacher to say that, especially if he's had a difficult time with some the previous week. So esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake, and be an encouragement to him, that you might be his joy and his crown during 2017. Let us pray. O God in heaven, we pray that at the beginning of another year, that we all might be a prosperous people, because we prosper in that which really matters. Thank you, Lord, for giving us material prosperity. But Lord, help us to hanker more and more for spiritual prosperity. We realise indeed, O Lord, that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And help us to live according to the glorious riches that you have bestowed upon us. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.